Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel reading, Mark 11. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, when Jesus was born on the first Christmas, he came in humility and lowliness. His mother and guardian father were not important people. They were subject to the ruling authorities of their day, having to make a very long and arduous trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, even while Mary was extremely pregnant. And when the time came for Jesus to be born, there wasn't even room for them in the inn. So he was born in a cattle stall, laid in the only piece of furniture that seemed appropriate in which to put a baby, a feeding trough. And though the angelic host announced the birth of the Savior, it was only a group of lowly shepherds who heard their sermon and came to worship Jesus. It was a humble and lowly birth, to be sure. Most people didn't even know that it had happened. And yet, this was the birth of a king. Not someone who would one day become a king, but one who already was king from the beginning, king of the entire universe. But people could choose to ignore him. They could choose to ignore this miracle that God became man. They could choose to ignore it, and most of them did. Jesus, the Son of God, lay there in the manger. Jesus was in our world, but it didn't seem to matter that much. Jesus grew up in an equally humble situation, living with his parents in the unimportant town of Nazareth. And as he began his earthly ministry, it was indeed accompanied by great signs and wonders, but no one was forced to believe. Many did at first, but many of those fell away. Which brings us to Palm Sunday in our gospel reading, the triumphal entry where Jesus rides into Jerusalem, hailed by many as their king, but riding a humble donkey, not a war horse, not in a chariot, praised by children, no army following behind him, no obvious way for him to seize power from Herod, and certainly no obvious way for him to seize power from the Romans, a lowly and humble king. And people could refuse or reject him. He made no one worship him. He made no one wave palm branches before him or throw their cloaks in the road. The religious authorities didn't support him. And like a lowly criminal, like a common criminal, he would be hung on a cross. A despicable death, to be sure. Another humble arrival. And so it shouldn't surprise us at all when the church appears to the world as equally humble and lowly. At times throughout history, the church has wielded earthly power and authority, typically to its detriment. The vast majority of times and places in which the church has existed, it has been a humble and lowly institution, distressed by heresies and schisms from within and persecution from outside. As we all learned recently, seemingly with a word, the government can close a church or tell Christ's worshipers not to sing or gather. And who has the church primarily appealed to? The poor, the disaffected. Most of the prominent and the powerful and the elite find no need for Christ's church, especially as it becomes less politically expedient to do so The powerful generally see no need to worship a humble king. Historically, it has been the church who has helped the poor and the sick, the widowed and the orphaned, the lowly of society. And even the tools of the church's primary work, that of proclaiming the gospel, of making disciples of all nations, of feeding the sheep that are gathered around word and sacrament, those tools seem very humble and unimpressive as well. Words, a little water, some bread and wine. And people can, of course, choose to ignore the church. They can choose to ignore the church's call to repentance and faith in the Savior, and many do. When the Son of God arrived in the flesh and with his creation in the person of Jesus, mankind was called to worship him and believe in him, but they could also choose to reject him. And now, this day, the Son of God arrives to be with us. Now is the time of his coming to us in grace. He is always here. He is always here in the divine service by his grace. Why? Because he has promised to be. He arrives when we call upon God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He speaks, and we hear his very own words. We sing his very own words. We receive the body and the blood of the Son of God in the sacrament. And like people did on Palm Sunday, sort of just instinctively, we hail this weekly arrival of Jesus with some ceremony, with some pomp, with some circumstance, with some formality, because it is appropriate to come into the presence of the God of the universe with awe and reverence and ritual, and to put away for a short time frivolity, nonsense, trivial things. Jesus is here. No doubt on that Palm Sunday, many of the people ruined their clothes by throwing them in the street into the mud and letting a donkey walk all over them. Likewise, we give up something to be here, to worship the King. We give up some of our time to be present where the Lord is, where he has promised to bless us. We give up some of our resources so that we can maintain this place of worship and the things of worship. We give up our pride and our arrogance as we confess before God and one another that we are sinners. We give up a little bit of our self-reliance when we are reminded to rely solely on the grace and mercy of God. We may even be called to give up some of our reputation, at least our reputation in the eyes of the world, for when you come to church, you witness to your neighbors that you are a Christian, that this is important, that you have been separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and that may cause a snicker or a smirk. It may cause others to think less of you. So be it, because Jesus is here. And that's what you can tell the smirkers and the snickerers, that Jesus is here. Palm Sunday is also an appropriate text for the first Sunday in Advent because it reminds us of why Jesus came that first Christmas. Palm Sunday would be the final time that Jesus would enter Jerusalem. He was going there to die. It is the love of God that caused Jesus to become incarnate, to be born, the love of God for you. As we'll sing in our communion hymn, love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling, our lost and fallen race. And it is the love of God that caused Jesus to march into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, 33 years after his birth, out of his own accord, knowing what would happen. He was going to his throne, the throne of the cross. Jesus became man so he could die for your sin. Jesus became a man so that as a man, as a human being, he would rise from the dead, paving the way for all his children to rise from the dead with him. As we say in the Creed, Jesus, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. On the first Christmas, Jesus came into the world. On Palm Sunday, he came into Jerusalem in order to die and to rise. And in this divine service, Jesus comes again to bring you his gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus is here. And during Advent, we're also reminded that we are waiting for one more arrival of Jesus. Not an arrival in lowliness or humility, not an arrival that anyone will be able to ignore, but an arrival in glory and power on the last day. At that point, we will see Jesus face to face. We will be in his presence for all eternity. And because we will behold him with our eyes, we will be able to say forever, Jesus is here. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.